Hi, everybody. Thanks for staying. Hopefully, this is going to be interesting to you. My name is David Clough. I'm a program manager in what we call the Office Ecosystem team. I work mostly on Outlook, but it's a set of technologies that apply in multiple places. Anyway, today I want to talk about actionable messages. Has anyone here heard about actionable messages before? Yes? One person? Two, three? Well, yeah. Of course you did. But it's cool that most people haven't heard of that thing because I always like to see how people react to what I think is a really, really cool extensibility technology. So what are actionable messages? I am sure lots of you use email clients, hopefully Outlook or Outlook web app, and spend a lot of time in there. And in many cases, there are things that you need to do because of an email that you've received. And usually that translates into either you manually opening a website or you manually opening another app or maybe clicking a link in the body of the email and being redirected to a website. In some cases, you have to authenticate there and then you have to find your way. And that's all a big waste of time. Usually, all those things that you have to do, you want to do them as quickly as possible. And with actionable messages, you can actually do exactly that. So imagine you receive an email, and there is a very quick way in there to do something very quickly without any friction, no authentication or nothing. Like liking a Twitter post if you're into social stuff. Or maybe adding a comment to a GitHub issue for the projects that you're currently following, responding to a survey, approving an expense report, all of these things that are really bite-sized actions that you're being asked to do on a regular basis, and that really you don't want to go to another system to do. The idea here is we know that for a fact because we've been able to measure that, and I'm sure Microsoft is not the only company that's measured that. Context switches, when you move from one software, piece of software to another, and to multiple others for that matter, it's hard for the brain, especially when you do it over and over and over again. So the fewer context switches, the more anybody is actually performing well on a daily basis. So this is really the goal of actionable messages. They are based on little card formats, so you might have heard that term card plenty before, especially in the previous talk, because cards are also a part of the bot framework. So cards that can be prepended to the body of an email, or sometimes that can be just sent on their own. And they are achieved. It's a very constrained format that always looks good, whichever client they're rendered in, with a consistent layout that users can recognize and assume is something that is safe to consume. And we're going to take a look at that, obviously. It's not going to be just slides and text. So how does one receive actionable messages? There are two main ways. First is what we call Office 365 connectors. Anybody's heard of connectors before? Yes? No? No? Okay. A couple people. If you've ever worked in Outlook groups, which is yet another concept that you might not have heard of, groups are like teams. Essentially, take Microsoft Teams. Anybody familiar with that brand new software from Microsoft called Microsoft Teams, where people can collaborate in teams using that very simple chat-like UI? Well, Outlook groups are essentially the same technology but exposed in Outlook. So this way you can actually do things similarly in the software that you actually care about. But those groups are not email, right? They are usually private to a team within a company, so you can't really send them stuff via email. And if you're used to working with third-party services, like we do all the time with GitHub repositories or with Trello, which is a very simple task management system, these systems, they cannot send you the notifications that you might need to rely upon because the group is not accessible over email. So with connectors, you can actually decide what notifications you want to receive from those systems in a very granular way and get those cards, those actionable cards, in your stream of information. You can act upon them. So those are connectors. We're going to see an example of that. And what's cool is that those connectors, again, work in both Outlook Groups and Microsoft Teams exactly the same way. But sometimes, in many cases for that matter, you don't really want to have to configure something. It's not like you want to receive notifications from a particular service. What you want is to be able to take part in a process that you're supposed to take part into. Like, for example, if you have to approve or reject an expense report, that's part of your job. You're being told to do so. You cannot just opt out. So in those cases, for those scenarios, actionable messages can also be sent over email simply. And the user does not have to configure anything. And that's actually beautiful, because this way I just do what I have to do when I receive the email, and that's it. I can go on with my life. So to start, those are a few examples of the cards that you can expect, and we're going to see them actually in the product after. But I was talking about GitHub, a card, like an issue was opened by someone, and as you can see at the bottom, I have the possibility to add a comment directly on that issue, or even close it. Of course, I can also navigate to GitHub if I want to have more details about the issue in question. TinyPulse is a very popular, or getting a lot more popular as we speak, actually, quick survey service that we have used internally at Microsoft, for that matter. And now with actionable messages, you can actually answer those polls right from Outlook. And this is an example where the question is plain text, but you can also imagine questions where it's a multi-selection, like radio buttons or even checkboxes. So you see all of these, and the card has always has that consistent look and feel that people can get familiar to and assume is safe to interact with. In terms of how things work, one thing that is very, very important is that it's a very, very safe technology. If you have heard about Office add-ins or modern add-ins for Office, you probably know that these things are implemented with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. They're very, very powerful, and they have access to your personal information, which is why you need to turn them on individually, because you need to actually consent to the add-ins accessing your data. This is not at all the case for actionable messages. That's the beauty of it, actually. There's zero code that's ever executed on the client. So the information stored in the user's mailbox or anywhere else is absolutely safe. There's no risk whatsoever. As I was saying, the cards have no access to the information. And also, all the scenarios that are exposed via actionable messages are registered with Microsoft, and we have a review process. Of course, you can also enable scenarios for just your enterprise, and that's actually one of the better use cases for actionable messages. You probably have plenty of processes that could take advantage of that technology, and hopefully, by the end of this talk, you will have an idea of, okay, what can I do to simplify my users' life on a daily basis? A last set of slides to talk a little bit about how things work. I'm going to go quickly on that because it's a bunch of boxes and maybe a little too technical, but I just wanted to dig into it to outline the fact that everything is indeed secure. If you have a service, that service will be able to send an actionable message over SMTP, over simple email, and that's just by adding a little script a tag that contains a JSON payload that describes the card, and we're going to take a look at how we can define cards shortly after. And that's going to be sent to Office 365, and Office 365 will verify that the sender of that message is allowed to send actionable messages. This is done with standard technologies like DKIM and other standard ways of verifying the sender. Then, of course, that email is then relayed to the client that synchronizes it. That's Outlook or Outlook Web App. At this time, we are only supporting Outlook 2016 and Outlook Web App for those actionable messages. We will support more clients in the near future. Then in that card, the user might take an action, so click a button. Those actions actually make a call to an HTTP endpoint on the distant service, on the external service. So it's an HTTP post that goes through the Office middle tier, and the middle tier stamps a token that is signed by Microsoft on the request so that the service that receives it can assess that the request is indeed coming from Microsoft and that it is safe to run it, because you don't want your service to be attacked by callers that might not be authenticated. And of course, the service performs the action and at that point has the ability to return either a custom status message to the client that ran the request. It can even completely refresh the card in order to give the user a completely new set of information. And we're going to see an example of that. That's exactly what happens. So this is how things work. Again, I want to emphasize that those actionable messages are very, very safe. And again, the goal is to have bite-sized actions that can be done very, very quickly to save the user time. Now let's go into demos. So the first demo that I want to do is a demo with Trello. Anybody familiar with Trello here? So Trello is, I see there's probably a couple people. It's a very simple task management system that is based on boards in which you have lists of cards. And a card can be assimilated to a task. And so this is the UI from Trello, right? And this is here Outlook. I have an Outlook web app here for one particular user. I have two users for the system. And so this is Outlook web app, and this is Outlook, right? And the idea is that I can configure a connector. I was talking about those connectors. I can configure a connector for that account so that it receives notifications from Trello when something happens there. So here I have multiple configurations for that. This is probably the right one. And you can see here there's a lot of granularity as to what I want to be able to receive. So whenever those types of events happen in Trello, I'm going to get a notification in my inbox with an actionable message. So this is already created. I'm going to just cancel that. And what I'm going to do is simply go to Trello and create a new card. And I'm going to say, hello, Plugfest, which is not really a task or anything, but anyway, it's for demo purposes. And if everything works well, which hopefully it does, but you know the demo effect is always with us. Murphy is very powerful. I actually receive a card, and you can see this was received really, really quickly. We'll see an example of how quick things are. This is the card that I received from Trello. I know that a card was created. The title of that card is Hello Plugfest. If I had typed some additional information for that card, I would see it in that card as well. I know who created it, and I know in what board and list it is. And at that point, I can actually say, I can set a due date for this. So I'm clicking on the set due date. I'm going to pick a date in the picker. I'm going to say it's due tomorrow. Hit save. And just like that, I've marked the task as having a due date of tomorrow. And to prove you that everything works well, if I go back to Trello, it's immediately reflected. And I want to emphasize on the fact that everything is really, really fast. You can expect really that kind of almost instantaneous mechanism, because everything is based not on sending emails, but on HTTP post calls from one end to another. Right? So we really talked directly to Trello to tell it, please mark that particular card as having a due date set to tomorrow. And now if I go to Outlook, which is actually on another account, which also has the same connector configured, you can see that I also received the card there. And if I wanted here, I could just say, hey, let me move that card to another list. I'm going to say to the completed list. Hit submit, and again, if I go to Trello, the card has been completed already. And if I go here, back in OWA, I can see that in that same thread, I've received multiple updates for that particular card that say, hey, the card is now in the list completed, right? So this is actionable messages via connectors. But the beauty, as I was saying before, is that connectors, they also work in Teams. I have the exact same connector configured in Teams here. And as you can see, the cards also show, and the actions are absolutely working as well. So I'm going to hit the Done button. And And boom, the card is actually marked as done. So this is the same code whenever a connector is created, because there's a platform, you can create your own connectors for your own services. You can actually publish it so that it can be used in both Outlook and Microsoft Teams, right? So that's actionable messages over connectors. But now, let's look into actionable messages over SMTP, because that's a really, really powerful scenario. And I have a small demo here of, it's kind of a bogus workflow. It's really a demo. I have a SharePoint website on which I'm going to be able to request a vacation. And you're going to see there's a long list of vacations because of vacation requests, because lots of people have actually used that scenario as a demo. I'm going to have to find something creative, because pretty much every city in the world has been used already. But what's interesting with that demo is that it uses SharePoint as the database for the requests themselves. And then it uses Microsoft Flow. I don't know if anybody here has heard of Microsoft Flow. Microsoft Flow is an automation system, if you wish. That's a little bit equivalent to IFTTT, if you've ever heard or used it. Essentially, it says, when something happens in the system, do something in another system. So here, the process that's put in place is whenever a new vacation request is created in that particular SharePoint list, Flow is going to pick that up and generate an accept or reject actionable message that is going to be sent to an approver, right, in Office 365. And what that translates into is a completely automated flow where the user does not have, the end user, the Outlook user, does not have to configure anything. They're just going to receive a message, and they're going to be able to take an action from there. So the one caveat here is because Flow is a system that is not instantaneous. It pulls every so often, which is normal. There are plenty of processes running in there. Things are not instantaneous in that particular case. So the operation that I'm going to do in SharePoint might not work immediately, but I have already created an example before. So we'll look at the card anyway. So Flow here is, where did I put it? It's here. So this is my list. As you can see, plenty of cities already. I'm going to have, this is going to be my summer vacation. I'm going to say summer vacation. Let's say I'm going from the 21st to the 23rd. It's not a long vacation. And I'm going to pick myself as the approver. That way, I'm sure it's going to be approved. I'm going to hit save. So at that point, the item is created in the SharePoint list. Flow, at some point, is going to pick it up. And if I go to Outlook, actually, I can see here that, as I thought was going to be the case, the approval request is not up. Oh, actually, it just came. So this is the approval request as it was just sent to me. And as you can see, it's a very, very simple little card with just two buttons, approve and reject. As you can see, there's also no HTML body here. It's just a card. So whenever a card is sent, an actionable message card is sent, the sender has the option of hiding the original email body. The reason for that is that in some cases, the card is actually a repeat of the body. In this particular case, that's exactly what it is. The body would read, please approve or reject that request, and would have links to an external website. But the sender here, Flow, does it with a card, and the card completely replaces the functionality of the body. So they chose to hide the body. But in some other cases, the body would be displayed in addition to the card. One great example of that is an expense approval request. You can imagine that the body would contain a fully detailed view of the expense report, while the card would only contain a little summary alongside the approve or reject actions. So sometimes card is complementary to the body, and sometimes it's a replacement. And the option is provided in little card format. So I'm going to approve my request, just clicking approve, and boom, done. That's it. And I will most likely receive an email within a couple seconds. I'm actually happy that it took that little time. Now, of course, it was all on my account, so too easy, right? But if I was the person who actually created the vacation request in SharePoint, I would receive that message, say, okay, now I know that I can take my vacation. It's all automated with actionable messages. And So let me now show you yet another scenario, which I think is really, really cool. We talked about that tiny pulse before. It's a polling mechanism. Actually, we have a demo. It's not tiny pulse, but it's a similar application where you can actually respond to polls within the email client. Let me show you that. I've actually implemented this one. I also like it because, as you can see here, I've opened that little drop-down menu. Those are add-ins. What you see here, that series of icons, including the little drop-down arrow and that list of things, those are add-ins that are coded with HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So with an add-in, you can actually extend the functionality of the client. You code that add-in once, for that matter, and it's going to work in Outlook and in OAuth and now also on iOS. And with an add-in, you can actually create a process end-to-end that happens in Outlook. So in this particular case, it's a quick poll process. So I click on this thing. My add-in opens here in a modal dialog that appears on top, but it's not necessary. It could actually be a pass pane on the right, or it could actually do something immediately without any further interaction. And I'm just going to select a bunch of options here. Vegetarian. I'm going to say gluten-free. And I'm just going to limit it to that. And this is the card, the preview of the card that I'm going to receive, or that the people who are going to receive the poll are going to see in their email client. I'm going to send that to two email addresses, mine and somebody else. And I'm going to click send the poll. And boom, done. And I can continue with my life. So we were talking about, you know, reducing the context switches. Just wanted to emphasize this is somewhat disconnected from actionable messages, but I can trigger an actionable message scenario from an add-in that works within Outlook. So that allows the users to just stay in Outlook all the time, which is probably, at least for some, and I know here at Microsoft it's very true for some of us, it's a big time saver, like not having to navigate all around. So I just did receive that particular survey with my options, and my coworker on the other account probably received it as well, right? So it's the same thing. As you can see, the card as rendered in Outlook looks slightly different because it adopts the styles of the client it's being rendered in. So in Outlook, the styles are those, while in OAuth, it's a slightly different visuals. So I'm going to say vegetarian. I'm going to submit. And here you can see the card refresh mechanism. And by the way, if you think there's not enough space between thanks for responding and the little thing that's under, absolutely, there's not enough space. But this is just a bug in the very latest build that I'm using now that nobody else outside would see. So here you can you just witness what we call the card refresh. As after you've responded to the poll, the idea is to show you interesting information. And that interesting information in this particular case is to tell you, okay, here are the current statistics when it comes to that survey. So we completely refresh the card. And what happened, again, is as I clicked the button, a call was made to an external web service over HTTP. It was a post call. It passed a bunch of things, and the service responded. And as part of the response, said, replace the card with that new one, which is exactly what happened in the client. Right? And now if I go to Outlook, where my coworker is also supposed to respond to the poll, I'm going to hit submit. As you can see, he also got a card refresh. But because I responded before, now there are actually two responses in total. And you can see that his response was gluten-free, while somebody else responded vegetarian. This is just one example. We can imagine many, many scenarios that could refresh the card. There are plenty of, yes? Yeah. Question is, can a due date be set on the poll? Absolutely. This is just a very simple demo. I'm a PM and I coded it. So that's to say how simple it is, right? It's the, you implement a web service and the actionable message card does the rest. I made it super simple, but you absolutely can have a service that imposes a due date on the poll and make it impossible for people to respond past that due date. Anything you want, essentially. We're going to see exactly how you craft those cards so that they do that magic, if you want to call it magic. You're absolutely free to use the technology for whatever scenario, and even though the format, the layout of the card is somewhat constrained, again, for very specific reasons, we want the cards to look good all the time. You still can do plenty of things. And I was going to say, you can even imagine scenarios where you have a multi-step UI, as in you get an initial card, and that initial card has a next button. And when you click on the next button, maybe it's the next question that is displayed. And then you can have that navigation, previous question, next question, and in the end, submit, which actually finalizes. Just again, thinking out loud here, but there are plenty of things that you can actually do. Now that we've actually seen all the cards in action, so this is basically it, right? That's it. It's as simple as that in the end. I just wanted to show you the tool that we've created to help you craft cards. It's something that can actually help you understand what is possible and what you can do. It's called the Card Playground, and it's just presented like this, where on the left you can type in the JSON that actually generates this card. So this is an illustration of everything that the card can do. We have a little selector here that can show you what that TinyPulse card, which is the actual card that TinyPulse uses for their particular scenario. That's how it's crafted in the JSON format. And I want to go on the action here. Can everybody see the screen, or is it a little too small? Let me try. I don't know if I can zoom this. Yes. So this is the action as it is defined. As you can probably, I don't know if you can see that. There's one button, there's one action in that particular card. It's called answer anonymously. So that answer anonymously action is defined here. It's an HTTP post action. Its label name is answer anonymously. It's primary in the sense that it's going to show as blue and not gray. We have multiple styles for the buttons. And what I don't have in this particular sample, because I don't own TinyPulse and I can't craft the right URLs, but the idea is to say, okay, here, what I want when the user clicks on that button is to make a request to tinypulse.com, probably /API, and then probably user ID equals and whatever. It's actually the sender that crafts that payload, so they know what user they're targeting, which is actually a bad example in this case, because when you send a survey to many people, you have to craft a card for everybody, one single card for everybody. That said, there is always a way to know who took the action when your service receives the HTTP post. I talked about a signed token that is passed with the request so that you can assess that the call is coming from Office. In that token, there is the identity of the user who is taking the action. So you can always use that. And so this is all that it is. I'm setting a target, and here I can define a body. And that is the body of the post request. And it can be anything. It can be JSON, it can be XML, it can be whatever the external service expects, right? There's no limitation as to what can be done. You can also set headers, a collection of headers, if I can spell. And basically, as the user clicks on that button, the client, Outlook, is just going to say, okay, let me make an HTTP post call to that particular target URL, pass that particular body, pass those headers, and wait for a response. And that's it. Outlook does not know anything about what's actually being done. It's just relaying the request as it's been crafted in the payload, right? Go back there. So this is the playground tool. Bunch of scenarios here to show you how things are done. And if you want to know more, and this is actually the old address, but I know it still works, so I'm going to use it. This is our documentation website. Maybe not. Oh, active, no, that would be actions. This is our website for documentation. So all the information that you need if you're interested in jumping into creating actionable message scenarios are available here. Link to the card playground, all about security, all about how you actually send a card via email. It's extremely simple. If you've ever sent an email programmatically, you can send an actionable message programmatically, because it's just a matter of taking that little JSON payload that you crafted with the tool, or manually if you know the format by heart, and just putting it in a script tag in your HTML body. That's it. There's nothing else to it. Back to the slides real quick. So I talked about the fact that currently actionable messages are available in Outlook 2016 and Outlook Web App. Well, we are going to make those available in more clients in the near future. So connectors, we're bringing them everywhere as fast as possible. And actionable messages are coming to iOS soon. They will also come to the Android Outlook version. They will also come to Universal Outlook. If anybody uses that client, which is a really cool client for that matter, but yeah, it's really coming to all clients. We believe there are plenty of opportunities for great scenarios to streamline processes. So we want that technology to be available everywhere. And as far as what I would like for you guys to do, hopefully you've learned how this can be very helpful to you. It's not necessarily all about Microsoft or other companies implementing actionable message scenarios that are going to be available to everybody. If in your enterprise, in your company, you have processes that could be streamlined thanks to actionable messages, by all means, please jump in. We have a little, you can experiment with your scenario. When you're ready, you can submit it via our developer dashboard. And if everything goes well, you'll be all set. Again, documentation, etc., etc. And that's all I have for you today. I hopefully did not take too much time. If you have questions, I am more than happy to answer them. Anybody? So the question is, can you set a future date for an email to send out? So I want to decouple those two things. Again, the actionable messages, it's just an email is being sent at some point, right? And in that email, there is a card. And in that card, you have whatever you want. So if you want the initial email to only be sent after a while, or you know, it's upstream, I would say. It's before the actionable message ever reaches the user, right? So hopefully that answers your question. Exactly. I mean, there's an add-in in Outlook maybe you'll want to check it out. It's called Boomerang. Boomerang has a set of capabilities, one of which being send later. I mean, the typical use for that, I craft an email on a Friday night. Do I send it immediately? No, because nobody's going to read it. Do I send it on Monday morning? No, because I will forget. So what do? I use Boomerang to basically instruct it to send my email on Monday morning for me. So that can do that with an add-in. Any other question? No? All right. Well, thank you very much. Hopefully you liked it.